Welcome back to our series focusing on the power of Jesus' amazing words. And right after his testimony, we're going to hear some. Well, let's come back to the words of Jesus. Amazing, powerful words and his teaching is incredible. The Gospels are full of the amazing insight from the lips of Jesus. Jesus was a master storyteller, the Son of God. His words and his actions and the things that he said are absolutely incredible to us. Look with me for a moment at the last verse of the book of John. If I'd asked you, do you know what the last verse of the book of John is? Maybe some of you would know that and some of you might not remember. This is the last thing that John writes in the fourth gospel about Jesus. Jesus did many other things as well. If every one of them were written down, I suppose that even the whole world would not have enough room for the books that would be written. I imagine John, having written his gospel, he's thinking of, oh, all the other things I should put in there, all the other things that I might say about Jesus that are amazing. Truly, we probably see just the tip of the iceberg of the great wisdom of Jesus. And someday we'll see more things, and we'll see Jesus, as the Scripture says, in the full light of who He is. But what He gives us and what He says has great insight. I think every story of Jesus, when we slow down and we read it, you know, not just real fast, but we read it and we begin to think about what Jesus is talking about, I think there's a depth of insight that's amazing in everything that Jesus says to us. I know I've said about the whole Bible, I believe every verse has a purpose. I might not know what it is, and I'm searching to understand, but my view of Scripture is that God gave it to us for a reason, and everything Jesus said has a deep purpose and a reason. And if our hearts are listening and hungry and quiet before God's Spirit, His Holy Spirit would apply it to ourselves. There's so much to see. Well, 2 weeks ago in our new series on the power of Jesus, we looked at the attitude especially and what Jesus said about the tendency in the human heart to judge other people and how Jesus tells us to be very careful about how we look at other people. He says, why do you look at the splinter in your neighbor's eye? What are you doing? Why are you focused on other people's faults? Jesus tells us to be very careful about how we look and view other people. And then what do you say? Why do you say what you do about those things? And then Jesus turned it, of course, back onto me, onto you, onto us. And He said, first, work on the things in your own life, in your own spirit. And if that's the attitude we have toward other people, I mean, there are a lot of people around. We can always find people who aren't doing what they're supposed to do. We can always find people. I mean, there's enough of us around. It'd only take one, but there's enough of us around that if we allowed ourselves, we could actually spend almost all our time and energy thinking about what other people are not doing what they should do or what other people should be doing. But Jesus says, that's not your job. Your job is to ask God's Spirit to examine your heart and to work in your heart and your life and your spirit. That's great insight into the human spirit. And then last week, we also looked at the story of Jesus washing His disciples' feet and what Jesus said there and how important that story is for us to understand who Jesus is. He came not to be served, but to be a servant. And He said to His disciples that just as you have seen what I've done for you, I want you to do for one another. I mean, so much of what Jesus said is about how we treat other people, how we see other people, how we see that person in our life, in the church, at work, in our family, in relationships. So much of what Jesus said is about how we see other people because Jesus was so insightful into human nature. And He knows how we think. He knows what our tendencies are. He knows kind of where we struggle. And He truly was a great teacher. And the crowds were drawn to Him. The truth and insight and ability that Jesus had to relate to the very real needs of people is absolutely amazing to me. Of all the things that Jesus spoke about and talked about, as you've been around the Gospels and you've heard the stories of Jesus as the great teacher, I want to ask you this morning, what subject do you think Jesus talked about the most? Now, if you're here in the first service, you're not allowed to answer. Or if you read your bulletin real close, what do you think Jesus taught about more than any other subject? What would be your guess? Good guess, but that's not right. That's good, John. That's excellent. I do have something, a special prize for the person that gets it. What? There you go. That's for you. Sarah's got it. Money. Do you know that Jesus said more about money and possessions and about what we are given in this life and how we use them and how we apply them than any other subject? And if you take what Jesus, just what Jesus said, and you look at his parables and you look at his interaction with his disciples and with the Pharisees, and you stack them all up, you'll find out that Jesus said more about our possessions and how we look at them than anything else. It's not like Jesus gave us these hard and fast 10 rules about our money. He gives us principles to apply to life and to come before the heart of God and say, God, how do you want me to look at the possessions that I have? And so this morning I want us to look at some of the things that Jesus said about money, about possessions, about wealth, about poverty. The thing about what Jesus said is it was very practical. It was very real. I want to invite you to turn to Matthew chapter 6, verse 19, and read with me some of the words in Matthew chapter 6 in the Sermon on the Mount. I'm going to read through verse 24, then verse 33. It begins in Matthew chapter 6, verse 19. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. And then verse 33 says, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you. These words come to us in the middle of Matthew chapter 6. You may know that Matthew chapter 5, chapter 6, and chapter 7 are what's called the Sermon on the Mount. Somewhere along the northern end of the Sea of Galilee, Jesus went up on the mountain, Matthew chapter 5 says, and when he was set, the disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth, and he taught them, saying, and then he gives us the Sermon on the Mount. Many different subjects, a lot of different things that Jesus talks about in recorded in those three chapters that really give us a great picture of the heart of God. And in these verses, we find the heart of God about how do we look at our possessions? How do we look at the life that we have and who it belongs to? One of the things that I think about the Sermon on the Mount is that Jesus was talking, preaching, speaking, teaching everyday common people. Those people lived in those villages, probably around the Sea of Galilee, the people that Jesus probably rubbed shoulders with in the first 30 years of his life. And here he is, and the great crowds come to him, and he opens his mouth and teaches them. That reminds me that the words of Jesus are for common people, for us. There may have been some millionaires in the crowd. There may have been some people in the crowd and the Sermon on the Mount that had a lot of money. I'm sure some had more than others. There may have been some real impoverished, destitute people in the crowd in the Sermon on the Mount. But everything that Jesus said was for every person that's there and heard his words. And I want to say to us today that every time Jesus opens his mouth and his words are recorded in the Scripture, there's something in it for you and something for me. The thing about the Bible is it has something to say to me. And I know in Matthew chapter 6, where I'm at in life, I know that Jesus has something to say to me, and I believe that for you. Whether you're young, you're at the beginning of your journey, or you're very old and toward the end of your journey, Jesus has something to say to you. Whether you're in a big family or a small family, or whether you're working or you're retired or you're a student, these are principles that Jesus gives us, each one of us, to help us to put into practice God's view in our life and where we are at. They really are full of great insight and great reminders of God's guidance to us and how God sees our money and possessions. You might call this the Christian worldview about money. And when you think of these verses in chapter 6 and other things Jesus said, it's like Jesus gives us a worldview to look at. This is how God wants us to look at our world about money. This is how Jesus wants us to look at our possessions and what we have, what we've accumulated, what we need. and taken with all the things that Jesus says about possessions, it gives us this overall picture of this view or this way of life that Jesus wants for his disciples. Debbie mentioned earlier about the picture maybe from last week of the man carrying his cross. I want to remind us today that to be a disciple of Jesus means he wants us to take up the cross and follow him. It's not always clear. It's not always easy. But being a genuine disciple is saying, I'm going to hear the view that Jesus has for my life, and I'm going to hold on to it. And I'm going to choose to walk in that way, in that path. And so listening to the worldview of Jesus about money is so important, because there are many different voices in our culture, in our world, about our possessions and how people see them. But I can promise you, and you know this, that the way that the world views their possessions and money is not the way that God does. God looks at it very different. And so the question is, how does God see our money and possessions? Jesus gives us a great number of principles, and I want to look at some of them this morning. The first principle that I want to mention this morning is found here in verse 19, and it's the principle of storage. The principle of storage. God has a certain perspective about what we do with our possessions. I'll call it the principle of storage. And basically, Jesus says that there's two options with what you store up. You can store up for eternal values, everlasting values, or you can store up for things in this life. And there's a difference there. There's a line there. And Jesus reminds us to always be aware of what we're storing up and where we're storing it up for and what it is that's driving us and calling us and encouraging us and driving us to what we do with our possessions and our money. We can store up treasures on earth, or we can store up treasures in heaven. I notice in this word, in verse 19, it says, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal." And so I'm thinking, what kind of things are Jesus talking about? Well, what does moth and rust destroy? What does it destroy? Well, it destroys man-made things, for one thing. It destroys things that have a certain lifetime, a certain number of days or weeks or months or years, and then it comes apart, or it falls apart, or it rusts. And I'm thinking, well, what falls into that category? Well, first thing that came to my mind, what does moth destroy? Clothes, clothing. There's just one little category to think about. What's in my closet? What do I own? What's important to me about what I wear? Is it something that honors this value that Jesus is talking about storing up? Am I more concerned about how I look and what I'm wearing and what I have in my closet and my possessions more important than what's going to bring lasting values? I think of things that rust. I think of things that are maybe, you might call them toys in my life. Things that will be there for a while, but they come apart. Again, I'm reminded in a practical way is, what is Jesus saying to me? What is it that I'm storing up in this life? What is important to me? These are questions that are so important for us to wrestle with. I notice that this commandment or this verse is not a suggestion. It's Jesus saying to us, do not store up for yourselves things that fall apart. Jesus is talking about the things that we value in life and we're so minded on and concerned about and thinking about that we're thinking about things that aren't important for all of eternity. So this question, what does it mean to store up treasures in heaven, I think is important for every single one of us. And we have so many examples of people in human history who have seemed to value what Jesus said here or devalue it. I think on one side, I think of people like Mother Teresa, who seems to have given up everything in order to give herself. And I think of the words of Jesus where he said, if you give up your life, that's when you'll gain his life. That's what I mean by upside down. Sometimes Jesus says things that just seem opposite of what we would think he would say. He said, in order to find life, you've got to give up your life. You have to have this heart and this willingness to literally give up things that you might want and you might want to hold on to find what life really is, to find meaning in life, to find what it means to be fulfilled, to find joy, to find the relationship with God that's real in your heart and your life and fulfilling for who you are. Jesus reminds us that it's not the way the world looks at it. He says, if you want to find life, then you have to give your life up. I think of people through human history and even people in the church and people that I've known over the years as a pastor who have exemplified those that care deeply about storing up treasures in heaven. They put their time and their resources into caring for people and helping people and loving people and encouraging people and being there in order to lift people up and draw them to the heart of God and help them when they fall, and how meaningful and important that is. People who have given behind the scenes, and Jesus talked about the right hand and the left hand and not knowing who gives, and people who are so giving and have a gift of giving, and they show that in wonderful ways. On the other hand, we know of people and in history that we would identify that are just the opposite, and they become so consumed with accumulating wealth and the things that they have that they've turned into bitter, bitter people. They've turned into people that have no hope and joy, and when they come to the end of life and they take their last breath, they have missed it all. I think of the man Howard Hughes, and I read a biography once about Howard Hughes, and back in the 1940s and 50s, he was this great entrepreneur, and he built all the airplanes and TWA, and at the time was one of the five richest men in the world, worth at the time somewhere around $50 billion. I read about Howard Hughes and how one time somebody asked Howard Hughes how much is enough, and his response was just a little bit more. And that's sometimes how money and how the desire for things can hold on to us. We just want a little bit more. We just want to work a little bit harder. We just want to get one more thing, and then we'll be okay. And there's something about the deceptiveness of wealth the Proverbs talks about that can get deep in us, and we can measure life by it instead of the things that are truly valuable to God. How much is enough? Those are things that we've got to come before God and ask that question. What does it mean to store up treasures in heaven? I'm not here this morning to give you a formula or tell you how much money you should save or how much money you should put in retirement or whether or not you should go in debt for your education and all the things that go on in life. What I want to say to you is you've got to come before God's Spirit with a heart that's humble and teachable and accountable and say, God, show me what you want me to do with what you've given me. Help me to be wise. It's one thing if you think somebody is just going to tell you exactly what to do, but that's not what this principle is about. It's about relationship with God. It's about saying, God, everything I have belongs to you already. So you just show me and guide me. Help me to be wise and discerning so my heart is right before you. I hold on to what I should hold on to, and I let go of what I should let go of. I help people when you give me the opportunity and you call me to. God, blessings are from you. Help me to know what you want to do with it. The principle all throughout Scripture about wealth and finances, it's always a heart issue. It's always about your relationship with God. It's not about how many O's are at the end of the number in your checkbook. It's about your heart and God. Does everything you have belong to God? Is everything that you have, say, God, it belongs to you. You show me how you want me to use it and what you want me to do with it. The answers do these questions come out of a relationship with God? They come out of the right view of who God is and His authority in our lives. Are we investing our time and our treasure for eternal priorities? Is our heart right before God? And if God's got your heart, then God will guide your checkbook. If God has your heart, He'll help you to make the decisions in your life that are best for you. I think of the examples in Scriptures and the many places where we have pictures or stories about wealth and how God sees them. One of them is in Luke chapter 12. Again, one of the parables of Jesus. And He spoke quite a few parables. But listen to this parable. Listen to what went on when Jesus told this parable. In Luke chapter 12, someone in the crowd said to Him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." So even before Jesus tells the story, we have the background. You have the issue of the brothers. You have the issue of the greed. You have the issue of the fairness. You have the issue of the inheritance. And all these things are related to money and finances right there in the introduction. And then verse 14 says, "Then Jesus replied, 'Man, who appointed me to be a judge or an arbiter between you?'" I believe in some ways Jesus was saying to them, "Guys, you need to get your heart right. That's the issue. The issue is your heart here." And Jesus said, "Watch out. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. Jesus said to be careful, all of us, about an attitude that you could call greed. That may seem like a big word and a bad word, but the truth is Satan can use that spirit of wanting and seeing and needing and thinking that something is important to us and thinking how good it would be just to take that extra step. And just like other things, Satan can use that to draw you away from God's perfect will in your life and your attitude about your money, your attitude about your possessions. Then the parable begins, and he told them this parable. The ground of a certain rich man produced a good crop. He thought to himself, "What shall I do? I have no more place to store my crops." Then he said, "This is what I'll do. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones. And there I will store all my grains and my goods. And I'll say to myself, 'You have plenty of things laid up for many years. Take life easy, eat, drink, and be merry.'" But God said to him, "You fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? This is how it will be with anyone who stores up things for himself but is not rich toward God." Jesus told a story and then he applied it and said, this is how it will be for anybody who stores up for themselves, who has an attitude, "It belongs to me." We know from the words of Jesus, we know from the Psalms, well, we know throughout the Bible, and we just know from life that life is short. It's but a vapor, James says. We don't know how long we have, and whatever God's allowed us to have in this life will someday be gone. It'll be gone suddenly for some, and it may take time for others, but the truth is there will come a moment and a time in our lives when we'll realize that the things of this life are over, and the only things that matter, as the saying goes, are the things that last, the things that belong to Christ, eternity completely. We're reminded in the words of Jesus that God wants us to always look at our possessions through the lens of knowing that we're only here for a time. God loans them to us, and we have the opportunity to share them and give them back. There is also the power, as Jesus talks about in these words, of what your treasure is. What your treasure is. Verse 21 says, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Whatever it is that you put your time in, whatever it is that you invest your money in, will become your identity. It will drive you. And so if you are putting your time and your money into things and pleasures that don't last, things that will be gone, that's what your heart will follow. And then you will become those things. Whatever you treasure in this life, you will become defined by, and it will become your identity. So be careful. Be careful how important things are to you. Be careful about how important the money and the bank account and your security is to you. Be careful about how much time you spend accumulating what you have. I mean, we work for a living. It's part of the cross that we bear. And we're being reminded by Jesus that we're not defined by that. And if our attitude about our possessions and our money is not to please God and be what He wants us to be for eternal values, then the value to them just continues to decrease in our lives. Whatever takes up your spare time, it will be what you think about and you talk about. And so Jesus said, be careful, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Whatever you treasure, Jesus would say, will become your master. Whatever it is that becomes important to you and seems to define you and your time and your energy and your conversations and your spare time, whatever that is will become your master. So Jesus said, be careful about your master. Being a disciple of Jesus means making Him the master of your life. There can only be one master in the life of a Christian, and that's Jesus. There can only be one who's in charge. If anybody else is competing to be the master of your life as a Christian, you can't be a disciple of Jesus. Jesus is the only master. And He says here in these verses, and at the end, you cannot serve both God and money. You can't serve both God and mammon. You can't serve both God and anything else, anybody else. But Satan will try to tell you differently. How you view your time and your money is a big decision. You can see it as belonging to God, or you can see your possessions as belonging to you. But the truth is, we are only temporary stewards of what God gives us in this life. Jesus talked about in three of His parables, and they're all a little bit different, but three times, not once, not twice, but three times, Jesus told a story about the master who gave to his servants certain talents or money or treasure, however you translate that. Three different times Jesus told the story in three different gospels. He told the story that the master will give every person a certain amount of talents, certain amount of money. Then the master goes away and he'll leave them for a time. And then when he comes back, he's going to hold them accountable. Why did Jesus say that three times? Why is it recorded over and over and over again? Because this is key and important to understanding the heart of God and what Jesus wants for his disciples. We can waste our time trying to get it and hold it and secure it, or we can see it as something that God wants us to use for his kingdom and for his glory. So Jesus said, watch out. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Be on your guard about what's important to you. Be on your guard about how much you want to hold on to the things in your life and how they define you and how they speak of what's important to you. Are they more important than the things of God? Are they more important than people going to heaven? Do we really believe that Jesus is talking here about his kingdom and life and eternal life? If we do, then we have to see through the perspective and the lens of eternity, what's important? What's important to the heart of God? It's people, it's eternity, it's values. Jesus also said that it is better to give than to receive. In Acts, the quote from Jesus, the Apostle Paul says, we remember the words of the Master. And he said, it's better to give than to receive. Another principle that is so true. This is so true. I mean, some of the things when we read them, they just jump out at you and they seem so true. But this is one of them to me, what Jesus said about giving. It is more blessed to give than to receive. People who are giving are far more fulfilled. They have far more joy and meaning in life than people that hold on to it, that are stingy. When you have a heart that's giving and it comes from your heart, as the Bible says, God loves a cheerful giver. When you have a giving heart, when your heart wants to give, then you will be blessed. If you give because you're under compulsion, as it says in the New Testament, you'll miss the blessing. If you only give and help people because you just feel like you have to, or you're doing a certain formula and a certain duty because that's what good people do, you miss it completely. But Jesus said, it is far more better. One translation says, it is far more blessed to give than to receive. The principle of giving is so important. You know that giving is one of the great gifts that God allows for us to have. I mean the privilege of giving. You know how good it is to be used of God to bless other people? That really is a great gift. It's something to be thankful for that we have from God, is the ability and to give. God blesses us. There's nothing wrong with God blessing us with all that he does. Some of us have been so blessed. God's given us lots of possessions and lots of money. God always wants us to come before him and say, how can I give? How can I have a heart that honors you with the way that I see the needs of people and I help people around me? It truly is in giving yourself away that you are blessed, you are free, that you're fulfilled, that you find meaning in life. People that are stingy, it's just the opposite. Some of the stingiest people I know, they're people that have no joy. They are always worried. They are always afraid. They're always critical of people. They're always usually judgmental of other people. And they just, it's like the joy's been sucked out of them. Jesus said, it's far more blessed to give than to receive. And then we also can fall into that trap, those that are more worried about security than generosity. There's another category. People that are so worried about keeping what they have that their life is consumed with it. Their life is consumed with protecting it, keeping it from being lost or stolen. And I think if there's anything in life that can be lost or stolen, it has a lesser value than eternal value. It has a lesser value if it can be lost or stolen. And Jesus said, be careful about that. You're so worried, and that's what the part of the meaning of the parable was. This guy had so much he needed to build a barn. So he had this attitude in his heart, oh boy, I'm set, and it's all about me, and I got it, and nothing's going to happen to me. And Jesus said simply to him, thou fool, this very night your life will be required of thee. You know, when life is gone, there's nothing that matters except the eternal values. There's nothing that matters about people except people and eternity. Jesus said also in verse 22, the eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are on this world's treasures, then it will affect your whole worldview. If your eyes are focused on the things of this life, then you cannot see the value in the things of God. It will mess up your priorities. The love of money is the root of every kind of evil. It can produce all kinds of horrible things in our world, and we know many examples of that. You do. How money just funds all kinds of vices and selfish, malicious, horrible things in our world. But I also know that money, in a sense, can be distracting to God's people too. The love of money is a root of every kind of evil, every kind. And so even in our lives, Satan will try to find a way to cause us to be focused on the things that God doesn't want us to. I want to remind us this morning to look at the things that are of eternal value in your life. How do you look at the things that God gave you? How do you look at the things that God has made you a steward of? Does it belong to Him? Does it belong to Him? Or are you holding on very tightly to the things that God has given you? I do know that Satan can be very subtle. Satan can find a way in good people's lives to get them focused on security, get them focused on things that will be gone, and therefore miss the potential of what God wants them to do in their lives. Verse 24 says, no man can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. I want to encourage you this morning to, in our closing time of prayer, just to come before God and say, God, is there anything about my attitude and my possessions that you want to look at today? Is there anything about how I look at my income, my debts? Maybe for some it would be retirement. Maybe for some it might be in a category of helping people that need it. Maybe for some it might be in that category of support of this church, if this is your church and your ministry. Maybe Jesus or God would say to you in your heart that I'm holding on a little too tight to the things in my life and I need to be willing to let them go. Whatever it is, it's God's Spirit that we all need to deal with. It's God's Spirit that all of us are encouraged to say, God, you show me what you want me to do in my heart and my life, the attitude that you want me to have. It all belongs to God. In closing this morning, I just want to say to you, choose well your master. Choose well your master. Choose well what you put your eternal values in. That seems to be what Jesus says here and in many other places. Whatever it is, whatever you put your time in, whatever you put your treasure in, there your heart will be also. Would you stand as we pray? Would you look at this last picture right here as we close in prayer this morning? I want to close with this idea of heaven and what it's going to be like. We speculate more than we know, obviously, about what heaven's going to be like. Reunion. We're not sure about all those things, but someday we know that we're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Someday the Bible says it's appointed once to die, and after this the judgment. Someday we're going to cross over some kind of a barrier, some kind of something, and it'll be a difference between how we lived in this life and all of eternity. So Jesus reminds us, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, but instead store up treasures in heaven. Let's pray. Dear God, I pray that you would help us to know how to put that into practice. We thank you for the words of Jesus and the principles that Jesus gave us and the stories that he told and the people that he interacted with. I'm thinking of that poor widow who put one mite, one little coin or two little coins into the offering and how Jesus said she gave more than all the others. I think of the parable and the story when the Pharisees were trying to trap Jesus about taxes and the wisdom of Jesus. Think, Lord, of all the times and places where Jesus warned us about having an attitude and a spirit that would really bring pain to us. Help us to hear those principles and make the decisions that honor you. Help us to have an attitude toward our money and our possessions that honor you. Help us to learn from the heart of Jesus. Help us, God, to make the decision and choice in our lives that you will be our master. Help us to choose our master well. We know that we cannot serve God and mammon. We can't serve any two masters. Help us as Christians to choose to walk with Jesus and be his disciples, I pray. Guide us and help us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you for being here today. God bless.